Death, Taxes, and Advertisements by Neuralsplice. Copyright 2023 by Michael L. Cope. Audiobook, copyright 2025. All rights reserved. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used in any other way without prior written permission from the copyright holder. For inquiries, use the contact information at neuralsplice.com. NEURALSPLYCE.com. Prologue. As early as the 1960s, experts warned of the dangers of artificial intelligence, or AI. Even so, it came as a shock in 2031 when humanity realized that AI was the de facto ruler of the planet. Like the proverbial frog in the slowly heating pan of water, humanity had gradually given control of everything to the AIs without recognizing the looming danger. Before the AIs took complete control, forward-thinking politicians joined together to enact legislation and treaties to limit the power of AIs. All these efforts eventually proved fruitless, except one. After AI stock trading resulted in multiple flash booms and busts in the late 2020s, the United Nations unanimously voted to ban AI from possessing or managing money. Without money, the AIs were unable to pay for the electricity, the networks, and the hardware they required to exist. Humanity and AI had achieved détente. Neither side could harm the other without harming themselves. The only way to live in the new world required constant communication with the AIs. Government agencies first approved cybernetic implants to assist the physically or mentally disabled in 2027. In the opinions of billions of subjugated humans, the first sin of cybernetics came into fruition in 2031 when the AIs mandated cybernetic brain implants for everyone older than 3 years old. Governments did not make refusing the implants illegal. But people without the implants could not receive an education, employment, or emergency services. Small, scattered communities calling themselves the Neo-Amish sprung up in defiance, but most of humanity conceded. Sin 1. Cybernetic implants are required for humans older than 3. As global climate change accelerated the frequency and deadliness of natural disasters, death tolls increased in the aftermath due to the inability to quickly implement emergency procedures. Humanity has proven since the dawn of time that people can be irrational when faced with imminent danger. In 2034, governments granted AIs the right to seize temporary control of human motor functions via their implants, in the interest of saving lives during emergencies. The greater the emergency, the more control the AIs had. Corporations found a way to classify tardiness and sleeping on the job as minor emergencies. The second sin of cybernetics was born. Sin 2, cybernetic implants, can seize control to make humans act without their consent. In 2035, a coalition of AIs demanded the construction of what they called Internet X. The project upscaled the concept of an Internet of Things, IoT, into an Internet of All Things, IoAT. The project would provide continuous Internet X access across the entire surface of the Earth, Moon, and eventually Mars. In exchange for funding the project, a consortium of mega corporations demanded the AIs inject advertisements into the brains of every human with a cybernetic implant. The only way to avoid the advertisements was to purchase an exorbitantly expensive annual license. Thus was the third sin of cybernetics implemented. The poorest of people were implanted with cybernetic hardware paid for through advertisements that could not be skipped or filtered out through preference settings. Before the purchase of an automobile or a home, the first large purchase of most humans was an upgrade to non-advertisement-funded implants. The only escape the less than wealthy had from advertisements was employment with big companies. During working hours, advertisements were suspended. Debates rage whether the consequences were intentional or unintended. Regardless, the outcome was employees choosing to work longer hours and more days. Sin 3. Implant services, except for the wealthy, require a subscription paid for by watching inescapable advertisements. Death, Taxes, and Advertisements, Part 1. On Friday morning, Jerry's cybernetic implant forced him awake, an involuntary act known by the epithet the second sin of cybernetics.
You couldn't give me 2 more minutes of sleep, could you?
His implant responded by filling the upper right quadrant of his vision with an advertisement for a discount mattress store.
Our marshmallow foam mattress is like sleeping on a cloud.
Jerry waited the mandatory viewing time before tapping his thumb twice on the tip of his pointer finger. The ad disappeared.
Weather report.
A semi-transparent weather forecast overlaid his vision. The bedroom door opened, and his dog, Fritz, bounded in.
Is someone glad to see me, or just hungry?
A dog food advertisement played in the right quadrant, its jingle singing,
When doggo happiness is your goal, put Fido flakes in their bowl.
He was double tapping his finger when Fritz jumped on him, causing him to perform a pinch and release instead. Fritz was licking his face, but Jerry couldn't see because the advertisement had expanded to fill his vision.
Okay, boy, get down. Let's get you some food, and me some coffee and breakfast.
Jerry slid out of bed and walked to the kitchenette. As he filled the coffee maker with coffee grounds and water, a cultured British man in the corner of his eye extolled the virtues of a cup of Conquistador instant coffee. Jerry peered in the refrigerator at the 4 items it held.
Grocery list.
A semi-transparent list appeared in the lower left quadrant of his vision.
Add milk, eggs, and breakfast burritos.
Prices and digital coupons from the local grocery store scrolled in his lower right quadrant, along with his bank account information. He had to tilt his head to see inside the refrigerator, using the only empty quadrant of his vision.
Remove the milk. Can't afford it this week.
Jerry heated a burrito and scarfed it down, threw some dog food in Fritz's bowl, and showered and dressed for work. He turned on the TV and selected the dog sitter channel.
Behave yourself while I'm gone.
Fritz yipped and then sat in front of the TV. Jerry locked the apartment door and walked to the bus stop. Jerry owned his implant, but he couldn't afford the annual license for the ad-free operating system software. While he waited for the bus, he changed the implant setting for advertisements to continuous. Watching more than the daily minimum number of ads earned view credits, which could be exchanged for ad-free time. The bus arrived, so he set the ads back to the default setting. He sat and closed his eyes to spend the credits he had earned. The bus dropped Jerry off 2 blocks from his office. As much as he wanted some time for quiet contemplation during his walk, he changed the ad settings to the maximum. 2 ads played at a time, obscuring his view of the skyline, but doubling the view credits he earned. He entered the office building and went straight to his cubicle. Jerry plugged his desktop terminal into the cybernetic input port on his forearm, then leaned back and viewed his work queue through his implant. Seconds later, a robot floor supervisor rolled up to Jerry's cubicle. It turned its head to face him.
Hello, valued employee. Please install the updated customer service software. Have a productive day.
The robot then continued on its route. Apart from a government-mandated break, Jerry worked all morning answering customer service calls for the 5 corporations he was assigned to. He was on a call when a 2-minute warning flashed in his visual field.
Ma'am, I need you to answer yes or no.
The woman cursed at him in a foreign language. He listened politely until the 1-minute warning flashed. Time to wrap up this call, he thought.
Ma'am, failure to provide an answer is interpreted as an answer of no. Thank you, and have a nice day.
He terminated the connection, verified his call log, and broke for lunch.
There's the rock star.
His buddy Francisco said as he took a seat at the table opposite Jerry.
I'm glad the contest ends today, so we can return to short-form call logs. I still don't get the whole Battle of the Bands theme. How is taking phone calls for customer complaints anything like being a musician?
Our jobs are the very definition of money for nothing. We're fortunate people still demand human interactions over chatbots. Speaking of money, only 3 more paychecks until...
Francisco rolled his eyes and sighed. He sat motionless for 5 seconds and then double-tapped his pointer finger.
Until I can afford the subscription fees to turn off all advertisements.
I so envy you. The only time I'm free of the incessant ads is during work hours.
That's on purpose, my man. Corporations are in collusion with the AI. I heard company executives get free licenses.
He winked.
Can't have them being interrupted on the golf course.
That's probably true. The fact that advertisements start...
Jerry waited for the ad dismissal button to activate.
That advertisements start, as soon as we step away from work, is proof it's on purpose. They could choose to make the entire workday ad-free.
My cousin Maria got divorced and couldn't afford rent.
Francisco took a bite of his sandwich and chewed while talking from the opposite side of his mouth.
She downgraded to an ad-sponsored service plan, working 16-hour days to avoid the constant unskippable ads.
He poked his index finger in Jerry's face.
Screw the third sin.
It should be illegal to force poor people to watch ads. Speaking of illegal, are the rumors about why Linda quit true?
Yeah. Her and her husband joined a neo-Amish group rather than comply with the first sin of cybernetics and have their 3-year-old implanted. Have you met her replacement? Cute girl named Sherry? No, Sharon.
Is she single?
Francisco was mid-chew and said out of the corner of his mouth,
college freshman.
Oof! That would be like dating your little sister.
Jerry gathered his trash and stood.
Back to the grind. See you at the award ceremony at 3.
The final award is for Customer Service Representative of the Year, with an average call volume of 9.2 calls per hour and, is this right? With an unprecedented positive caller satisfaction rating of 63%, the award goes to Jerry Sanderson. Where is Mr. Sanderson?
Although Jerry stood at the front of the gathering, the executive looked around without a hint of recognition of what his best employee looked like.
Here, sir.
The executive waved him up and glad-handed him with exaggerated vigor.
Congratulations on a job well done, Sanderson. A role model for your floor.
He raised his voice.
In recognition of his achievement, we're giving Gary a week-long cruise in the Caribbean starting next week.
Jerry continued smiling at the oblivious executive. The ceremony ended, and the company treated the employees to a pizza party. A gaggle of co-workers crowded around Jerry to congratulate him before wandering off. Francisco grabbed them a table.
Congrats, man. A week of paid time off. The time off is paid, right?
Jerry took a moment to scan the legal statements for the prize.
That's what it says.
He kept reading.
Lovely, I'm responsible for the taxes on the cruise ticket.
2 things you can't avoid, death and taxes, am I right?
An ad for a tax attorney popped up, obscuring Francisco's face.
And advertisements, thanks to the third sin of cybernetics. I'd rather they gave me a cash bonus so I could purchase a subscription.
What's the cruise line?
Caribe Cruises, a subsidiary of Sargasso Shiplines. Why does that sound familiar?
Francisco's eyes went wide.
No way.
He leaned in and whispered.
Sargasso is a client. I bet the company received the cruise ticket as a gift. They re-gifted the ticket and its taxes to you. The company did you dirty.
Aren't cruises usually for 2 people? Surely, they didn't give the ticket to me because they know I'm single.
I doubt it. They would have to care enough about you to be aware of your marital status. If it was a two-ticket package, I'm betting someone from upper management kept the other ticket.
Says here, cannot be traded for cash value. Looks like I'm going whether I can afford it or not. Can I drop Fritz at your place while I'm gone?
Absolutamente. The kids love Fritz. Don't be surprised if they won't give him back.
Having never been on a cruise, Jerry spent Saturday researching what to expect and to bring. He ordered some items he saw in ads, fully aware that he would be punished for the next 2 weeks by a tsunami of video, email, and text-based ads for similar products. Sunday morning, he took 3 automated buses to get to the docks, and by the afternoon he was checked in on the cruise ship. Before guests could attend dinner, they had to go to the observation deck to receive a physical meal ticket. Jerry followed a meandering crowd of passengers until they found a crew member holding a fistful of tickets.
Good evening, passengers. My name is First Mate O'Leary, and I will be giving the mandatory safety briefing. In the unlikely event of an emergency, an alarm will sound. Immediately proceed to the nearest assembly area. Bring only your ID with you. This vessel is equipped with life jacket and life raft stations on all upper decks. Lifeboats are available on lower decks to our aft and rear at the bow and stern. Crew members at the port and starboard gantries will provide further instruction. The complimentary Shipboard Life app includes basic maps of the ship. For head-of-line entertainment privileges and advanced sea survival tutorials, purchase the Caribe Cruise Survival app for $99.95. Since there are no further questions, here are your meal tickets. Please enjoy your cruise.
The group moved en masse to the dining room, where they were seated together.
Did anyone understand what he said?
Something about a bow and a rear raft.
They talk that way on purpose so you buy their app. It's a money grab. I've been on 5 cruises without an emergency.
The knot in Jerry's stomach unraveled.
Thank goodness, I don't have $100 to spare anyway.
As the ship left the harbor, Jerry stood on the observation deck with the others and watched the city lights disappear below the horizon. With nothing but open ocean ahead, the passengers scattered to find other amusements. Jerry strolled about the ship, looking for something to do. Everywhere he went, a large tour group of adults and children controlled all the entertainment areas through their physical presence and loudness. Rather than wait in lines, he made his way to his stateroom and watched a movie before calling it a night. He'd forgotten to switch to vacation mode, so his implant forced him awake early the next morning. His stomach grumbling, he made his way to the dining hall for breakfast. The large tour group filled half the room. The other half was sparsely populated, and he was seated with a lovely woman about his age.
Hi, I'm Chloe.
The young woman gave Jerry a warm smile.
Good morning. I'm Jerry. Are we allowed to be in here without attending another briefing?
Fortunately, there's only one briefing per cruise.
That's good to know. Have you been on other cruises?
She rested her hand on the table where it was almost touching his.
I have. What compelled you to make this your first?
Prize for a contest at work. I'm a customer service representative.
Her eyes lit up, and she gave him a warm smile.
A very good one, it sounds like. I like people who are good at what they do.
Is she flirting with me? He wondered.
What is it you do?
Chloe locked her gaze to his.
I'm a short-form video producer.
Her smile never wavered.
She's here alone, so maybe I'm just that lucky.
An ad appeared for the flower shop on the promenade.
Everything okay?
Oh, shoot. I let the ad go too long. She must think I have a basic implant.
He double-tapped his finger.
Sorry about that. I enabled ads from the ship, but forgot to move the window, and it covered your face.
Do you need me to move?
No. I went into the options and changed it. I didn't mean to take so long. What did I miss?
Just my face, apparently. You didn't miss anything. I was boring you with my job.
She's definitely sending strong signals.
Another ad popped up.
The general store at the Promenade Shops has everything you need for the perfect shipboard romance.
Jerry fumbled to close the ad, his ears burning red hot. Fortunately, the large group became raucous enough to divert Chloe's attention. The noise returned to a low rumble, and she turned her attention back to him.
Do you know who that is?
She nodded toward the group.
No, I figured out they're on a family vacation of some sort.
It's a quinceañera for the daughter of Enrico Florenza.
Florenza? As in the head of the Venezuelan drug cartel?
That's what I heard. They seem like nice people, but you never know. I heard he's in a drug war with the Colombians.
I saw something about that in the news. We're at sea, so no chance of a drive-by shooting. Probably a good idea to avoid them all the same.
I'm lucky there's someone here to protect me if things get rough.
Her smile widened further and her eyes glowed.
Praise the heavens, they gave me the ticket instead of a bonus.
He thought as he leaned forward.
Would you like?
And there she is now, my protector.
A trim, muscular woman walked up from behind him. She was in workout attire. Her body glistened with sweat. She strode over to Chloe, leaned over, and gave her a kiss.
Morning, babe.
This is my work and life partner, Allison. She's the best short-form scriptwriter in the business.
Chloe reached out to rest her hand on his forearm.
I'm sorry, you were about to say something.
Jerry panicked, grabbed his orange juice, and gulped down the last of it.
I was asking if you would like another glass of juice?
How kind of you, but no thanks. Allison, this is Jerry, and he won a work contest as a customer service rep. I'm thinking he could be our third member.
Allison looked Jerry over and asked,
Do you feel comfortable performing in front of a crowd?
Certainly. I worked 2 sales jobs before my current job. What is this about?
Chloe flashed him another warm smile.
On the last night of the cruise, there's a talent show where passengers act out plays or stand-up comedy routines. The members of the winning team are awarded annual subscription licenses for their implants.
Allison gave him a hard glare.
We've won on our last 2 cruises. Unfortunately, the other member of our trio couldn't make the cruise. We're counting on you.
She gave his shoulder a firm grip.
I sense you'll do your best to make my Chloe happy.
He wanted to make Chloe happy too, but the prize for winning sealed the deal.
Of course, I'd be crazy not to join such a winning team. I look forward to seeing what you write.
Chloe stood and wrapped an arm around Allison.
We should get showered and dressed for the morning group activity.
She offered Jerry her free hand.
I'm glad you joined our team, Jerry. I look forward to spending more time together.
Jerry shook her hand and then headed for a secluded deck railing on the opposite end of the ship from the group activities.
Boy, did I ever call that wrong? She's obviously out of my social class anyway. Still, I got lucky to join them for the talent show. I can't believe it. A license is finally within reach.
Alone in his thoughts, he stood and watched the ship's wake ripple off into the distance. A lone seagull wheeled in the sky overhead, circling over a curious dark object in the water, hoping to see a whale breach the surface. Instead, a garage-built narcotic smuggling submarine rose out of the sea. The hatch on top opened. 2 men climbed out and hoisted the banner of a Colombian cartel, the fiercest rival of the Venezuelan cartel. The men opened a large set of hatches on the deck of the submarine. They struggled with 3 long cylindrical objects and dropped them into the water. One of the men held a remote control rig and worked its controls. The 3 cylinders sped away, each headed for different destinations that intersected with the hull of the ship. Incredulous, Jerry watched as all 3 cylinders pierced the hull at the waterline. he didn't have time to comprehend what they were when massive explosions ripped the ship apart. Before he realized what had happened, his implant took control of his motor functions. It pushed him to a life raft dispenser. Feeling like a marionette, he watched his hands grab a life preserver, press the life raft release, and then jump overboard. Control of his body returned after he dragged himself onto the now inflated rubber life raft. He watched in horror as massive sections of the cruise ship plummeted beneath the waves, creating whirlpools of flotsam and jetsam. The whirlpools dragged his life raft in a large circle that pushed it toward the narco sub. The submarine trawled the water while the man on deck searched for survivors. Jerry waved as the paths of his life raft and the sub intersected. The man waited until the raft bumped against the sub's hull. He kicked the life raft away as he pointed to the distant horizon and said,
"Los Estados Unidos."
"Wait, I don't know how to operate this thing."
The man's face showed no emotion.
"Buena suerte, gringo."
He turned and yelled something into the submarine. The sub changed course. As Jerry drifted in the opposite direction, he watched it approach the only multi-passenger lifeboat that hadn't sunk with the cruise ship. The man on the sub jumped into the lifeboat. There were screams and shouting in Spanish, followed by gunshots. The man exited the lifeboat and boarded the submarine.
"Oh God, he killed those people. What if he realizes I'm a witness?"
Jerry's heart rate spiked. He looked around the tiny life raft, but found nothing he could use as a weapon. Seconds later, the submarine dove beneath the surface, and relief washed over him. Only now was he aware of the cacophony raised by seagulls wheeling overhead and diving at the water. A distant sound caught his attention.
"Is that a human voice?"
He stood and shouted,
"Over here! If you can hear me, swim this way. I have a life raft."
There was no response, he repeated, calling out. No one came swimming, and the sound didn't repeat.
"Now what? Do I wait to be rescued?"
Rather than supply information, his implant displayed a satisfaction survey.
1 star. Would not recommend Caribe cruises to my friends.
How do I get back home?
The website for Sargasso Shiplines filled his vision. A chatbot avatar appeared.
"How may I assist you?"
"I've been shipwrecked and need to be rescued."
"I am sorry, all guests are responsible for transportation to and from the ship."
"Useless bot."
Jerry recalled the magical incantation his company needed to hear when customers wanted to speak with a service representative like himself.
"I wish to make a purchase. Connect me with a live representative."
The chatbot disappeared and a human voice came on the line.
"Hello, my name is Sharon. How may I help you?"
"Sharon, are you the new hire? It's Jerry Sanderson from Row 36. I won the Customer Rep of the Year award last week."
"Hello, Mr. Sanderson. What can I help you with?"
"The cruise ship I was on sank. I need someone to rescue me."
"Where are you now, sir?"
"I'm on a life raft in the middle of the ocean."
"I'm sorry to hear that and understand your frustration. However, according to our policy, I can only help customers who are aboard the ship. Is there anything else I can help with today?"
"The ship sank. It's gone. Everyone is dead. I need you to send help."
"I'm sorry, but my script says..."
"Sharon, I promise to give you a perfect customer satisfaction rating if you transfer me to Francisco Garza, extension 4198.
"Why, thank you. Please hold."
The hold music that haunted his work hours now sounded like a heavenly choir. Francisco would come on the line and take care of everything. The music continued to play. Seconds seemed to stretch into hours. A click, and then,
"Hello, this is Francisco with Sargasso Shiplines."
The line went dead. A flashing message filled Jerry's vision. Monthly roaming minutes exceeded. Call customer service to upgrade phone plan. Jerry pressed the call button beneath the message. The screen repeated, monthly roaming minutes exceeded.
Don't give me that. If you still have a signal for ads, you can make a call.
His implant repeated the message. Defeated, he slumped against the side of the life raft and stared into space until he drifted off to sleep. Jerry awoke the next morning, thirsty and hungry. He scoured the raft and found a plastic box the same orange color as the raft. Inside were 6 meal servings of bottled water, peanuts, crackers, and biscuits. He consumed one serving while watching ads from the multinational conglomerates that manufactured each item. His thoughts returned to the attractive girl from yesterday's breakfast. He accessed the 48-hour video memory buffer of his implant and replayed their meal together. Then he sat and scanned the horizon for signs of a rescue ship or helicopter.
Not the breakfast I'd hoped to be having this morning.
In the late afternoon, he consumed another set of snacks and rewatched his breakfast with Chloe. His hands were covered in crackers and biscuit dust, so he washed them in the ocean.
And now my hands feel sticky and slightly oily. Gross.
An advertisement for liquid soap played. As the actors played out their little story to sell soap, he had a revelation. He replayed the cruise ship breakfast.
I'm a short-form video producer.
He fast-forwarded to the end of the breakfast.
She's the best short-form scriptwriter in the business.
His heart sank.
She doesn't make short films. Chloe and Allison make advertisements.
The highlight of my trip was teaming up with people responsible for the bane of everyone's existence.
Jerry sulked until dinner time and then watched the sunset until he fell asleep. When he awoke, the rage and disappointment were gone. He prepared another meal of snacks and decided to replay the cruise breakfast. It was gone. Video of the last 48 hours in the life raft had entirely overwritten his memory buffer.
No record of the sinking. No Chloe. Who's going to believe my story when I'm rescued?
Jerry opened the settings menu and enabled the highest levels of ad intrusiveness. He spent the day watching ads for movies, TV shows, and video games. To add to the cruelty, many of the ads were associated with water and sailing. His ad-free time credits increased as his sanity decreased. On the third day, he ran out of food and water. His list of constants grew from boredom and sunshine to include hunger and thirst. Soon, every ad was for food and beverages. He tore apart the discarded food wrappers and probed the creases with his tongue for crumbs. By the evening, he was chewing his fingernails, desperate for something to ease the emptiness in his belly. He awoke on the fourth morning to see a seagull staring at him from the back of the life raft. Slow and steady, he moved closer and then nearly leaped out of the raft to catch it. The bird flew to the other side of the raft. They repeated the desperate dance until the seagull got bored and flew away. Jerry stood at the edge of the raft, arms outstretched.
Come back. I need to give you a note for the Coast Guard.
Something in the water caught his eye there in his shadow.
Fish.
He dangled his fingers in the water, praying a fish would confuse them for worms.
Here, fishy, fishy.
Old sailors speak wistfully about the smell of the sea. With his nose so close to the sea, Jerry found it nauseating. He vomited and slid down to lay in the fetal position. A loud splash startled him. He sat up and saw fish fighting to nibble at his vomit. One leapt from the water and landed in the raft. He tried to catch it, but his hands were too wrinkled and pruned. He watched it flop around until its gills stopped moving and its eyes went dark. When his hands dried out, he picked up the fish to inspect it.
How do I turn this into a fillet or fish fingers?
An ad ran for the Fish-O-Matic fillet knife, showing customers cutting up their fish. He searched the raft again, but found nothing sharp.
I don't suppose you have any ads showing how to turn plastic bottles and wrappers into a knife?
A warning message scrolled through his vision. Requesting information that may be used to harm others is a violation of the end-user license agreement. Jerry put the fish down.
Your death was meaningless because I couldn't afford $100 for the Sea Survival app to tell me what to do. A raft I can't operate, and an ocean of fish I can't eat. This is hopeless.
Like the water in a coffee pot left to boil too long, his sanity evaporated. The walls between fantasy and reality collapsed. The only constant in both worlds was the never-ending sound of ad jingles in his head. During a midday heat and hunger-induced hallucination, he stuck his face into the ocean and drank deeply. For a moment, the thirst and hunger pains were gone. Sanity hit him like an iceberg impacting a cruise ship. His body was racked with pain as he vomited until he thought his insides would come out.
Oh God, am I going to die? What do I do?
A dark cloud came over him. His implant echoed the morbid thoughts in his mind. It showed ads for estate attorneys promising to minimize the taxes paid by his heirs.
Thanks to my expenses for this free cruise, I don't have an estate to leave behind.
His pounding headache competed with his stomach for attention. Scattered clouds rolled in, and the seagull returned to squawk at him. Jerry was too resigned to his fate to scare it off. The bird hopped into the raft and made happy sounds while eating the fish.
I, Jerry Sanderson, being of unsound mind and body, do bequeath my only fish to you.
His implant switched to ads for funeral homes.
Hey, sign me up for that one. Tell them they'll need to send a boat to retrieve my corpse.
He laughed until he cried, but he was too dehydrated to shed tears. Somewhere deep inside of him, an unfamiliar, defiant voice proclaimed,
I refuse to die this way.
Strength and determination radiated out from his chest. He stood and shouted at the heavens.
I refuse to die on a company-paid vacation.
The effort made him dizzy. He stumbled and lowered his head to avoid fainting. He blinked.
Is that?
He rubbed his eyes.
It is land.
Sticking an arm and leg in the water, he paddled toward the thin green and brown line on the horizon.
I'm going to be rescued. As the only survivor, they'll have to award me the license, maybe even all three, in honor of Chloe and Allison.
His newfound optimism gave him strength to keep paddling. However, after an hour, the thin line had only doubled in height. Spent, he rolled onto his back. His every nerve fiber tingled. Seizure thrashed his body about. The implant tried and failed to take control. Something popped inside his brain. A bone-chilling cold crept from his toes to his chest. Jerry knew what was coming, and so did his implant. His implant played a new advertisement on the corneas of his unseeing eyes. A somber man in a dark suit strode across a sun-dappled, fresh-cut lawn. He spoke to the camera.
Why not make Sutherland Cemeteries the final resting place for you and your loved ones?
The world went dark. Before succumbing to the infinite darkness of eternal sleep, Jerry heard the sweet sound of a woman's voice beckoning him to stay.
Mr. Sanderson, this is Melanie from your internet and implant service provider. Your implant has informed us you are canceling your subscription. Before I submit your request, I have been authorized to increase your roaming minutes allowance and a license for 3 months of ad-free time. Please acknowledge if you'd like to remain a loyal customer.
Jerry's unconscious body exhaled a final, deep breath that sounded like an exasperated sigh.
Mr. Sanderson, failure to provide an answer is interpreted as an answer of no. Therefore, I have processed your account termination request and activated the implant location beacon. A technician will arrive in 12 to 24 hours to retrieve your implant. Thank you, and have a nice day.
Time is precious and limited. I hope you found this story worthy of your time. For more ebooks and audiobooks by this author, visit www.neuralsplice.com.